No. Okay. So we're going to move on to the presentations for the morning. We have one from Christy, another one from Andy, and then from Rita. Just a bit of, I guess, logistics. I think past practice was to turn the signs up if there is a question. I think we've gotten the piece with the mics. They're in your control. So I think those are the two logistic pieces. With that, I'll turn it over to Christy to start our presentation.
So I'm looking at agenda paper one, so I'm not sure whether people on the phone can see the presentation on the screen, but I'll work through the numbers on the page of the slide so that you can follow me. So this presentation, if I move to slide two, which talks about the agenda, really is trying to give you some context for today's discussion and the activities we've been undertaking here at the ISB. So we'll look a bit first at our activities, then a bit more about the content, a bit of background about the content of the IFRS taxonomy in case you didn't already know or need a reminder. Some information about our current and future standard setting activities, basically, and the adoption of the IFRS taxonomy and the work we're doing around that. So the first section we're going to talk about is the IFRS taxonomy activities of the ISB. And if I move to slide four, as I mentioned earlier, I'm leading an initiative here at the ISB, which is called the Disclosure Initiative. And it's last year the IFRS taxonomy team moved to be part of that initiative. Now, the Disclosure Initiative is quite a broad-based initiative. It has a number of projects which are sitting underneath that. Its main aim is to improve disclosures, to make disclosures more relevant, and for them to be a better tool for communication. And we felt here at the IFRS, at the ISB, that digital reporting and the IFRS taxonomy was a key part of making disclosures more effective, and therefore it made sense to bring the team into this initiative. I think in terms of, and I won't go through each of the projects, but what I do want to pull out is the interaction and the, I suppose, areas where I think digital reporting and the IFRS taxonomy will feed in even more directly than they have been into the technical activities of the ISB. So in particular, we have a sort of the most fundamental sort of research project in this initiative, which is our principles of disclosure. And there we're trying to look at the principles that the board considers when setting disclosure requirements, and also the decisions that preparers make when deciding what to disclose and what not to. And I think historically, I think it's fair to say that the board has very much in a very paper-based mindset. And I think one of the things that we need to bring into that discussion, and I think the IFRS taxonomy team will be key to that, is thinking about information in financial reporting from a digital perspective. And some of these questions about presentation versus disclosure in the notes tend to sort of have a different perspective when you think more broadly in a digital way. The other area is that I'm wanting to get the IFRS taxonomy team, I think, will be able to provide some good input into, is our review of existing standards. Because ultimately, the IFRS taxonomy is a dictionary. It's a collation of all our disclosure requirements. And I think there's a lot of information in there that the board isn't aware of and that we can utilise to really understand what we have in our current disclosure requirements. And I think finally, and this is already happening in our development of new exposure drafts, we, for a long time, Bartek, Andy, Rita, the whole team have been involved in helping the technical team develop standards, get better, clearer language, make sure that they're appropriately reflected. And I think the sort of perspective that the IFRS taxonomy team bring to that sort of more accounting-based process is very valuable because it does bring a different perspective. So that's sort of an overview of the Disclosure Initiative and where the IFRS taxonomy team fit in. So if I move now to slide five, and this is just really a reminder to give you the basis for why we even have an IFRS taxonomy team here at the ISB. And I think it was embodied in by the trustees, it's very much supported by the trustees, that they feel that the ISB should consider the IFRS taxonomy and digital reporting in its standard setting. It makes financial statements more accessible and exchangeable. Our purpose, our objective of the ISB is to provide high quality financial information for use by users in capital markets globally. So the IFRS taxonomy is an extension of that purpose, of that objective. If I move to slide 6, I think the other considerations, and these sort of build on some of the words from the trustee, is that we do think the IFRS taxonomy enhances the IFRS brand. I mean, we think it supports consistent implementation and adoption of IFRS globally. We feel that when you look at something digitally, you can see that it's sourced from an IFRS, it's sourced from IFRS. And we also think it can support effective regulation or financial regulation. So it can be a tool for people who are wanting to implement IFRS in different jurisdictions. I think we also think that in a broader context, the IFRS taxonomy can be very instrumental in supporting how financial reporting develops. And in, I think it was March, might have been February, we went to the Advisory Council and had quite a broad-based discussion about the future of corporate reporting. And within that discussion, we discussed integrated reporting and also the role of digital reporting. And I think there was a sense that financial reporting as we see it now is going to change in shape and form. And we think the IFRS taxonomy is key to sort of bringing financial reporting to that future end goal. So I think there's some big moves in the future. It will be slow to come, but ultimately I think financial reporting in many years might be sort of a different beast to have the sort of paper report that we get now. So if I move to slide 7, I think here now we're looking at some of the IFRS taxonomy activities internally and what happens perhaps behind the scenes. And this has been going on for some time. So the IFRS taxonomy team does liaise quite closely with the project teams. When they're drafting disclosure requirements, when we're looking at draft exposure drafts, final standards, there is a lot of coordination, in particular with BARTEC and the technical teams, reviewing those developments. And it has been noted even at board meetings, sort of the quality of those review, because I think, as I said, the IFRS taxonomy team do bring quite a different perspective to a project team who is so sort of in the detail of whatever project they're looking at, to have somebody else look at precision of language and the ability to view across standards has been seen to be very valuable. As I also mentioned, we do see that sort of role being even more instrumental in our principles of disclosure project. And then finally, the other work that we're doing, and Andy's been sort of mainly involved with this, is looking at the data model for IFRS. And by that I mean looking at trying to define and get some clarity around some of our key concepts. For example, we have been working with our conceptual framework team, so the fundamental principles that underpin IFRS. We've been looking from a data model perspective about what we actually mean by some of those key definitions. So what is an asset, what is a liability, because the conceptual framework is subject to review at the moment and we want to get some precision around that language. So all that is feeding into now the work that the draft standards and more final standards that the board is receiving. So if I move to slide 8, I suppose this might be speaking to the converter, but you know the external benefits that we see from, say, the IFRS taxonomy and the creation of files that are in electronic format in XBRL, that they improve the accessibility of the data across users. I think they facilitate analysis. It assists in the identification of concepts, even if you're reporting in different languages, and that's very important from an IFRS perspective. We see that it would reduce the costs to process data, and also allows, I think, for customization. I suppose customization really feeds into some of those sort of long-term views about how corporate and financial reporting might change in the future. You know, we hear that people do want to customise reports, and I think XBRL and the IFRS taxonomy enable companies more, you know, to do that sort of customisation. So if I move now to sort of the next section, which is about the content of the IFRS taxonomy, and that would be, oh, slide without a number, so I'm saying that's about 10 on my count. And I think you might have seen this slide before, but just as a recap, the IFRS taxonomy is made up of, I suppose, three types of concepts. We have those that represent actual disclosure requirements in the standards. We then have guidance and examples which sit in sort of material that accompanies those standards, so basis of conclusions or illustrative examples. And then we have common practice concepts which we have added as a result of our review of actual filings and have felt have been common enough to actually add to the taxonomy itself. If I move to that slide, which doesn't seem to be downloading, I'll go to the statistics. So this suits us accountants more. You don't want pictorial, you just want some numbers. So I think in terms of this slide, we're just trying to show the number of elements or concepts that are sitting in the IFRS taxonomy at the moment. You can see that, I suppose, the big sort of story that comes out of those numbers is that the big increase in the taxonomy from 2011 to 2012. I think that was driven primarily by two key issues. One is the sort of development of the common practice activity, so that rose by about 500 elements. And also we had some big standards being issued at that time, so IFRS 12, which is about consolidations, and then fair value measurement standard. So you can sort of see the move there. I think the other thing to note, and it is highlighted here, that the increase from the 2013 taxonomy to the 2014 taxonomy, the full one, so the total, there is a doubling up because we modulised the IFRS taxonomies so that there is now a repetition of concepts that were in the SME module with those that are in the full IFRS. So it's sort of the total is slightly misleading in that sense. If anybody's got any questions, do raise name place. So let's move on to current and future activities. And if I move to slide 13, in the last activities in the last 12 months, I think this slide summarises. So in terms of responding to developments in IFRS, there were two major standards that were issued, one on general hedge accounting and the other on rate regulation, a transitional standard on rate regulation. We also added common practice elements in relation to real estate and telecommunication industries. We also added sort of documentation, so labels to describe the meaning of elements, and I think that was quite a substantial exercise. How many definitions did we add or elements? 5,000-ish?
We have about 5,000 elements in the taxonomy, and the definitions are there for all except for abstract elements, which is about 400, so 4,500 roughly.
Small bit of work. We've also started making some changes to reflect a new due process. You'll hear some more about the changes we're still yet to make, but last year we started consulting on interim updates to the IFRS taxonomy. So instead of making the consultation an annual process, we are now following the updates as the basis for the consultation against changes to the taxonomy. And the other major change we made was to modularise the taxonomy between into different namespaces, so full IFRS, an IFRS for SMEs, and IFRS for the management commentary. And that really now means that regulators can choose which module they would like to adopt into their regulation or to apply in their jurisdictions. It also reflects, I think, the way that we view the IFRS in terms of their interaction between the management commentary, the standard for SMEs and full IFRS. Did you want to?
Hi Lewis. Good morning. No worries. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Lewis McLaren. I'm responsible for the FASB's XBRL project.
I'm sorry, Lewis. There's a manual mic.
Hi, I'm Lewis McLaren. And I am responsible for the FASB's XBRL project supporting the SEC's project.
Okay. And your interests, I guess as an observer, but what's your interest in?
My interest?
In general.
In general?
Relative to this topic, of course.
I guess my general interest is that we come up with a common way of doing things, and that's what we've been working on, a lot of stuff we've been working on with Andy over the last weeks and months. So that's our common interest, I think.
I think so. So just logistics again, questions, it's turned to sign up there, and the mic's in your control. So there's a manual on and off.
Thank you. So just moving back to the presentation, I think we're up to slide 14 now. And this is what's headed when we're continuing to improve. And I think I won't go into too much detail because a lot of these items we're actually going to talk about today. But in terms of content, there'll be more standards up and coming in 2014 and beyond, and obviously we will respond and develop the IFRS taxonomy accordingly. We're also looking at adding new elements based on our common practice project, and we're looking at 7 new activities, and Richard will give you an update on what we're doing in that realm. We're also looking to obviously extend the changes to our due process activities. Rita will give you an update on that. And looking to get a better sort of grasp of the use of IFRS across jurisdictions in the ISB for IFRS itself. There was quite an extensive project to review the jurisdictional profile of use of IFRS. We want to extend that to use of the IFRS taxonomy, so Andy's been working on that and she'll give you an update, as well as some of the work she's been doing, as Lewis mentioned, on data modelling and how that sort of thought process and activities may inform the IFRS taxonomy. In terms of future projects, and I suspect these will be the basis for some discussions at later meetings, we do want to look into the use of extensions and how we can minimise or to make better use, or people to use extensions more effectively. And we also want to have a look at the way that people can navigate around the taxonomy easier. We have heard that it's quite difficult to find an element or a concept in the taxonomy, so we do want to see if we can help people using the taxonomy navigate it better. So I suspect those will be topics for a later meeting. I think the other thing is on outreach, we have tried to make sure that we previously had done quite a bit of outreach, sort of getting the needs of users. I think we're now shifting that a little bit to looking at regulators so that we can sort of understand what their needs are and respond to some of the more specific needs that they're seeing with the use of the IFRS taxonomy. Lou, did you have a question?
Yes. You talk about jurisdictional profiles up there. Back on the pyramid slide, it's got the upside down pyramid with the 5 pieces. We draw the line at a certain point. The point right below it is the local and regulatory concepts. Is there any talk or thought of ever going into that section and putting those types of things into the IFRS taxonomy?
we'd have to sort of discuss it, but I think to the extent that they ever became common, I could imagine that perhaps they would make it through that process into the IFRS taxonomy. To some extent, we do need to consider the global application of the IFRS taxonomy. So my sense is that if it met the characteristics of what we see as common, we may consider it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not so sure, but I don't know if anybody else in the team would care to sort of comment on that.
Well, I think there is no immediate plan to go that way. We've been doing the common practice project, the general common practice project by industries for the last 3 years now, and we still got some industries to go into. Local, maybe. Entity specific, definitely not. That's there is this one small part that will always be an extension, because these are too specific. We might go into local, although, you know, local requirements usually are responsibility for local regulators. So we have to, well, we appreciate the fact that they are there. Not necessarily we can go into them as we are the IFRS team. So we'll see, no immediate plan.
And I'm not suggesting that we do that at all. It's just that, right, if they're local but not common, they're not going to make it in at this time. They're local and common, there's possibility.
Okay.
It's sometimes difficult to judge whether something is, you know, common because it's a local requirement or it's just common.
Right.
As we are not always aware of all the local requirements, it's just impossible to know all the local requirements. So what we have been doing until now is that we've been looking at the countries that use certain elements. So if it happens that we have, you know, 5 UK companies and we have a count of 5 in our common practice, then there is a high chance it's a local UK requirement, and we wouldn't be adding it. But the same count, if it comes from 5 different countries, then it suggests that it's more than a local requirement. And that has been our practice so far.
But on that point, I suppose we don't mind, you know, we do support the fact that local jurisdictions do add to the IFRS taxonomy. It's not something that we're adverse to. And I think if it is common in that jurisdiction, then we feel that provided it's appropriately documented that way. If I move to slide 15. One more, sorry.
If it's too early in the discussion, just let me know. But I mean, within Europe, I mean, with the whole European application of IFRS and the IFRS for EU and the local reporting requirements. So, would it be possible to have a kind of framework that can be applied within the EU, or what's the way going forward on that one?
In
terms of guidance.
Do you mean in something that could apply across both the IFRS financial statements and the local GAAP reporting requirements? I think EU endorsed IFRS is not significantly different from the IFRS taxonomy, and I could see if you're just looking at EU endorsed IFRS, then it seems appropriate that you would be able to add, you know, a local extension for those elements which I suppose the thing about the EU endorsement, it's one either whether it's been endorsed, so standards that are coming up, so I think that's slightly easier, but there's also the carve out that's existing in EU at the moment, and that's a carve out. So there's actually the EU could perhaps say that certain elements cannot be used, but there's no additional elements for EU carved out entities, so it wouldn't be that difficult, I think, for them to use the full IFRS taxonomy, and ESMA could work out whether it just leaves it to the entity not or to add or not add that element. But it is optional, so that's, I would expect that it just, you could use the full IFRS taxonomy. The local GAAP, I think that's a more difficult issue, because to have one element covering both the local GAAP amount and an IFRS amount, I'm not sure whether that would be misleading, because that they wouldn't necessarily be the same thing, and I think that in lies the problem. But I think Rita's going to go with, no, you're not going to know in the due process, so we're not really going to talk about that.
No, we are not talking about that issue in the due process. But definitely, Dave, we continue to work with regulators, with the XBRL community, to see how we can best meet their requirements. For instance, if the EU endorses a taxonomy, if we want, for instance, have to modernize our taxonomy a little bit more so that we can easier adopt that and carve out these sections that are not applicable within EU law. The fact that we now go to a more flexible delivery mechanism that you say, look, okay, you can pick up a version of the taxonomy which does not incorporate yet the standard that has been endorsed, that also goes more to the direction of providing more flexibility to regulators adopting our taxonomy. I agree with Christy, the issue of local gap taxonomies, that is not something that I think that is something that ESMA and really need to look at and come up with the best way that works within Europe. And again, once they have determined their direction, then we can look at it and see how, if there's anything we need to do. At the moment, we just would speculate because we don't know yet what ESMA's mandate will be. Mm-hmm.
Philosophically, the taxonomy is there to support IFRS, and that some of the concerns being raised by board members at a session we gave them is, what if somebody produces an instance document and claims that it's IFRS when in fact it's their local version of the taxonomy, for example? That would be a concern to us. And so there's a real issue for us in terms of, it must be quite clear when somebody's got a local requirement that's imposed in there. And the difficulty is, it might feel nice to create some for Europe, for example, but you know, the Financial Reporting Act in New Zealand, where I come from, has some additional disclosure requirements that they consider to be part of the financial report per se, and there's a real risk that you start to blur that line. We should be creating elements for everybody, and then we don't know any more what an IFRS taxonomy looks like. So I think philosophically it's one we have to be very careful and very cautious with, because it's hard enough comparing the paper-based standards and saying that these are IFRS, but then when we blur that by drawing out and having a tag document and not understanding how it's been compiled is a real risk for us.
Okay, so I think we're at slide 15, which gives you an indication of what we're expecting in 2014 in terms of IFRS developments, rate-regulated activities. The transitional guidance was published this year. Revenue recognition was published yesterday, so we would expecting to update the document, that IFRS taxonomy, and Vartek's been working on that already. We would be getting out that soon. The new standards on IFRS 9, so that's actually both classification and measurement and impairment, again, will be coming out this year, and in particular the impairment will mean a significant change or update to the IFRS taxonomy. I move to slide 16. This gives you an idea of what's going to come up in the future. So there's an IFRS for SMEs that's being reviewed at the moment. There's some annual improvements. I think the sort of big standards which are sort of raising their head and coming closer are leases and insurance. They may or may not be this year. I suspect insurance won't be this year. I think leases have maybe in with a chance. And then macro hedging, that really still is at a discussion paper stage, so I wouldn't be sort of waiting up to find some members to the IFRS taxonomy quite yet for the macro hedging. But I think, you know, with our change in due process, if or what reaches an exposure draft stage, you would see to come sort of some sense of what the amendments to the IFRS taxonomy would be at that point on macro hedging. So if I then, I'm just conscious that I'm now 5 minutes overdue, so just in terms of adoption, which is the last slide, and that's slide 18, Just to mention, we, in terms of adoption, we do know that countries listed here in Chile, Peru, Japan, China, Malaysia, Korea, Denmark, Australia, and we've obviously maybe missed out some, are using the IFRS taxonomy, and others are considering its use. I think what I want to draw out here is that we are supporting those jurisdictions, and we are, as the reader said, responsive to the needs of those jurisdictions who are using the IFRS taxonomy and considering using the IFRS taxonomy. We know that the UK IFRS taxonomy, which has been released for public consultation, does not import the IFRS taxonomy, but even in those cases, we want to have a discussion with them to understand their reasoning and see what we can learn from those decisions. As I said, we've got some dedicated outreach. We really do want to share to ensure that our product meets their business requirements. So I think that should be a focus for us in the coming years. So that's sort of just to give you an overview of our activities. So if there's any other questions, otherwise I suggest we move to the next agenda item.
No other questions? We're actually 10 minutes behind. So if you could